Glad to be walking in his love, amen. Walking in his freedom, walking in his grace, walking in his mercy, walking in his strength. And man, it's good to be together with you this evening. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Can you, I know many of you, and I just, we were worshiping, I was thinking, wow, I can just name what God has done, one thing after another, and looking around saying, God, thank you for what you're doing. Restoring lives, setting people free, filling him with their grace and his mercy and his power and his strength, amen, and leading and guiding them into all truth, and Lord, revealing your purpose for our lives by your Spirit, God. If you're still breathing, right, what's that song? It says, if you're still breathing, God's not done, amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're still alive in him, amen? Amen? So Lord, we thank you for your mercy, God. We thank you for your grace and your strength in our lives. Father, thank you for your patience and your goodness. Father God, thank you for protecting us through many hardships, Lord. Father, thank you that many of us could be dead or not even here, but Lord, you spared us, and so we bless you, and we honor you, and we thank you, Lord, and it's joyful, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So, Father God, we are so grateful to be here. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the body of Christ, and we thank you, Father, for continuing to speak to us through the remainder of this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Man, that is, I'm excited because, yeah, look at, you may be seated if you can and you're willing. But, you know, looking around, knowing so many people and just seeing what God is doing, that's what the gospel does, right? Line upon line, precept upon precept, from glory to glory. The renewing our mind day by day. We'll see you, kiddos. Thanks for joining us for worship. And just growing in him. You know, how many hardships does God deliver us out of? All of them. So it may be things we go through, but the Lord brings us through the other side. And we grow in him, we're strengthened in him, he continues to reveal himself to us, who he is, right? It's exciting. So when I look around and see that, it's pretty doggone exciting. It really is. Amen. I don't know if we did John session 78 last week, but I'm doing it again because I might have got messed up. And I put session twice. That's my fault there, John. Sorry about that. Session 78. Does anybody know what chapter we're in, at least? Okay. Chapter 8. And we're going to actually be at verse 25 again for like the, starting from there for the, I think it's like the third week in a row. And so many little nuggets, so many little avenues we can take in Christ revealing to us, even through the book of John, who he was and who he was trying to reveal himself to the Israelites that didn't get it. Is that true? Many of them didn't. And he spoke parables to them. Remember, the Word of God says he didn't speak to them unless he was speaking to them in what? In parables. Amen, in parables. And then later on, what we do, he'd take his disciples would come to him and he would explain it to them. And many times then even they didn't understand it. So starting in John chapter 8, 25, then they were saying to him, so he was preaching to a crowd, talking to a crowd. Then they were saying to him, to Jesus, who are you? Who are you? And so Jesus said to them, what have I even been saying to you from the beginning? And so we're going to spend a little time on that, by the way, of from the beginning. He says, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? And then verse 26, he says, I have many things to say and to judge regarding you, but he who sent me is true. Amen? And the things which I heard from him, these I say to the world. So we've heard, if you've been noticing a theme as we've been going through the book of John, he says, I only speak what I hear my Father say. I have not come on my own account. I'm not here declaring to be somebody that I'm not. I know who I am. My Father has told me who I am. And when I hear him speak, I speak to you. And I don't speak anything except what I hear him say. Wow. And the things which I heard from him, these I say to the world. So they did not realize that he was speaking to them about the Father. By the way, until the New Testament, we weren't hearing a lot about the Father, right? Knowing God in the New Covenant like you and I, Abba Father, Papa God, Daddy God, amen? Wasn't something that they were used to, right, in the Old Covenant. As I've been reading through the Old Testament, you ever read through the Bible in a year? As I've been reading through this in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, could you imagine if God treated us if we were walking in the old covenant, right? If I was walking and you were walking in the old covenant, I dare say I wouldn't be here, right? I would have been one of those that, you know, they either had to stone to death or God struck dead. Remember Korah's rebellion? If you remember the Old Testament, Korah's rebellion, standing up against Moses, and what happened, the whole ground opened up and swallowed them. Aren't you glad that you're under the new covenant? Amen. Patient with us, his kindness, waiting upon us, amen? Him knowing, obviously, the beginning to the end with you and I, but his patience towards us has been the key. One thing I've come to realize, when I've come to understand his patience towards me, it gives me this heart to pursue him. It gives me this heart to want to please him in every area of his life because of his patience. I was reading a scripture which I can't remember where it was now, but Paul was saying, hey, I gave you the signs of an apostle, and the first one wasn't his signs and wonders or the things or his revelation. The first one was patience. Amen. And like a father, you know, a good father growing up and being a better grandfather. I mean, if I could raise children like when I got older, right? But learning to be so patient, learning to be so much kinder. As I've realized how patient God has been with me, I'm learning to be more patient with those around me. See, what he is what I am, what I'm becoming as he reveals himself to me, that kindness and that patience. For the first thing that I couldn't believe that Paul says is regarding showing the signs of an apostle, he was saying patience. Patience with, though he would start that church and have to raise up leadership before he would leave, but he would have to be very patient with people and kind. Once again, let me just say this. I'm so grateful for the patience of God through my lifetime. And now that I understand his patience, do you think it's going to slow up now? No. No. Now that I understand it, I revel in it. I love it. I sing about his patience. I worship him and thank him for his patience, thanking that it's the kindness of the Lord, as it says in Romans chapter 2. The kindness of the Lord leads a person to repentance. And so even tonight as we're worshiping on a Wednesday in Little Chino Valley, looking at so many people I know, what I realize now, say, Lord, thank you for your patience. You all have your own testimony of God's patience. Not willing that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. Amen. Aren't you glad you're one of those who said, Lord, I yield. I have come to repentance to recognize and understand his patience and kindness towards us is the only reason that many of us, all of us, are here this evening. And so they were saying to Jesus, who are you? And they said, Jesus said, what I've been saying from the beginning. So let me just talk a little bit about the beginning. From the beginning. Well, how about the beginning from Jesus' life? So I'm going to read some different scriptures. We'll go through some scriptures. You guys love the scripture. Hallelujah, right? You love the word of God. How about Matthew chapter 1, verse 20? Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. And I'm reading in the NASB. NASB 2020, I believe it is. And so Matthew, let's talk about the beginning a little bit, the beginning of Jesus' life. But when he had thought this over, This is Joseph. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, to Joseph, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So beginning here, we know at the beginning of Jesus' life, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Born of a virgin. Isn't that one of the requirements to be a Christian, is understand that Jesus' birth was a miracle birth. Amen? He was born of a virgin, right? Conception by the Holy Spirit in Mary. And Joseph was going to marry Mary. And he says, I thought this was a sweet young gal. I don't know what happened, but she's pregnant. And she's telling me that this angel appeared to her and said, poof, you're going to be pregnant. Yeah, right, Mary. I've not heard that one before. That was a good one. An angel comes to you and says, you're going to be pregnant. And here you are. Good one. But he was such an honorable man of God, he was going to put her away privately, wasn't he? But he said, don't be afraid, marry her, because the fact is what she has conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God's beginning here on the earth, just a reminder, was supernatural. Amen. Just like you being born again is supernatural, John 3:3. Man, he's saying he must be born again, and he was comparing it to the wind. He says, you don't know which way the wind. Remember this past Sunday we talked about the breeze and the wind? He says, you don't know which way the wind comes or goes. But that was the Spirit of God breathing on an individual, the Holy Spirit, when they become born again. You've been renewed. You've been, what Pastor Lee used to say, you've been refathered. Doesn't matter what background you have, amen. Doesn't matter what family you came out of. When you're born again, amen, you've been refathered with the Holy Spirit living in you. As Peter says, an incorruptible seed in you that grows up into maturity in the things of God. I'm so glad it doesn't matter what your background is or what your past is. The ground at the foot of the cross is level, amen. Thank you, Lord. Does it matter what side of the tracks? When I trust him and he leads me, I'll get exactly where he wants me to go by the power of the Holy Spirit. Being regenerated, you and I being adopted into the family of God. Isn't that awesome? Being adopted. Yes, and just being a child of Abraham. Let's continue. Let's see what Mark says about this beginning. He says, what have I been trying to tell you from the beginning? Mark chapter 1, 1 through 3 in the NASB. Mark chapter 1, 1 through 3. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel. Reminds me of Romans 1:16, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Just as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, this is what Mark's saying, behold, I am sending my messenger before you who will prepare you your way. Who is that? John the Baptist, coming in the spirit of Elijah, right? Verse 3, the voice of one calling out of the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So we know John the Baptist showed up in the scene, right? Was he in a nice flowing robe like the Pharisees or Sadducees? No, he had a camel's hair and a belt, and he had this very strict diet. Does anybody remember what that strict diet was? Locusts and honey. That'd be like the keto diet, wouldn't it? Okay, no honey. Partially. I'm sure that was high in protein. And so he wasn't anything like what they thought somebody to come to prepare the way. He didn't perform any miracles, but he spoke with such power that people were coming to him and being baptized in water. Not ceremonial water, you know, not ceremonial water like the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were being baptized in the Jordan River, preparing the way for Jesus Christ, because when he showed up on the scene, did he look like one of the Pharisees or Sadducees? No, not at all. He came from, born in Bethlehem, raised in Galilee, being a carpenter's son. Amen. that it didn't look like anything, but he also came speaking with power and authority and doing signs and wonders. And the person at the beginning who prepared the way for him was John the Baptist. Amen. What's Luke have to say about the beginning? Luke chapter 1, 1 through 4. I like this. This is Luke, Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke wrote the book of Luke. That makes sense, right? What other book did he write? The book of Acts. And so he starts out here, Luke chapter 1, 1 through 4 says, "Since many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. It seemed fitting to me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in an orderly sequence, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught." So they were talking about the beginning. I just wanted to go through those, talking about the beginning of Jesus' life. But here's the thing. He wasn't talking about the beginning. When he says in that John chapter 8 and verse 32 and on, he wasn't saying, "What have I been saying to you from the beginning?" No, he's going much further back than that. He's going much further back than when he showed up on this earth by being born of a virgin. It's let's go to Luke 24, 25 through 27. What was he really talking about from the beginning? Amen. Let's see what Luke 24, 25 through 27. He's on the road of Emmaus. And he came along some guys that were walking. Jesus had been crucified. It was had become a few days after he's crucified. And these guys were saying, "Man, we'd hope that Jesus, we thought Jesus was the one. We thought he was the Son of God. We thought he was the great prophet that was spoken about." And so Jesus comes alongside them, and it says that he hid himself from him, who he was from them. They didn't know as Jesus. And so Luke 24, 25 through 27, it says, and then he said to them, "You foolish men," and slow of heart when they said, "Hey, we thought this was the Christ." So this is Jesus talking to them. "You foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to come into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things written about himself in all the scriptures." So when Jesus says, "What have I been saying from the beginning?" I'm the one that was written about beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Is I'm the one that was written about when Moses said that God will raise up a prophet like myself, and you're going to have to listen to him. He was talking about from the beginning, long before I was born, it was spoken about me. He says, "I've been trying to get your attention, folks, from the beginning of time." The word of God, amen. It was from the beginning that he knew that you and I would even be sitting here right now. Isn't that amazing? There's no time or space with him. The beginning was long before Jesus ever came from Mary's womb, before all the angels were gathered and crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Before the earth, or they were saying what was goodwill towards all men, before those shepherds in the field that came and worshiped Jesus, amen? Long before that, that was just an unveiling of the coming new covenant, but it was from the beginning that God had this planned out, amen? It wasn't yours or my ideal. Aren't you glad it wasn't my ideal or your ideal even to come to Christ, amen? No man can come to the Father unless he's drawn, amen? No man can come unto him unless he's drawn by the Holy Spirit. John gave us the real beginning. So the book of John gave us the real beginning. All the other ones, we're talking about the beginning of Jesus' life. What's John say here? John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning was the Word." So long before, let me just say this, it was long before Moses showed up on the scene and wrote those first five books of the Bible. Long before that, the Word showed up. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. Who's Him? Jesus. And apart from Him, Jesus, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. Man, that should, there's many other scriptures, but that should nail it right there, that Jesus is God. He's not just the Son of God. He is God, and He came as God in the flesh, and He was God, frankly, long before He ever came in the flesh, because His beginning was not at birth on this earth. It was from the beginning of all creation. When did God begin? I have no idea. He's from eternity. My brain can't think. You ever try to think about it? Well, where did God come from? And you think about it, and you just, your brain goes nowhere. He is from the beginning. He's the one that scattered with His fingers all the stars that we see. Wow, the size of the stars, the planets, amen. Beyond what we can see, He made all of that. He made that all for His glory. But you know what? He made that for you and I to look up and say, wow, man, there certainly is a God. There certainly is a Creator. Amen. Wow, so we can look at that and worship, not the stars, but worship the Creator of the stars. In the beginning was the Word. Let me read that again. That's so powerful. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, not even one thing came into being that He'd come into being. He is the Word. So being there at the beginning of Genesis, when God said, let's make man in our image, amen. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Wow. Spoke those things into existence. If you believe John, those first few scriptures, it was Jesus that spoke those things into existence. Amen. Because it says in the beginning was the Word. And what did He do? He spoke those things into existence, didn't He? He said, let there be light. And there was light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me just read that John 1 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow. From the Word. This is in John chapter 5, 39. This is Jesus talking to the religious leaders, talking about what really is the beginning of Jesus. It says, you examine the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And it is in those very scriptures that testify about me, Jesus said. And yet you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. You see how they were dressed, right? The priestly garments, their positions in this world. And then they have a carpenter son who was born in Bethlehem but raised in Galilee. And they're looking at Him. And even with the miracles and everything that He had done, they could not believe with a few people that He was from the beginning. The scriptures that they were intently looking into testify about Him. That's why it's wonderful when I look in the Old Testament. When I'm studying the Old Testament, what am I looking? I'm just looking for Jesus. I'm not looking for the law. I'm not looking for something that's outside of what Jesus is. Amen? I'm looking for Jesus as I study the Old Testament, looking for those types and shadows and symbols and revelation of who Jesus Christ is, because He is the Word, and everything He is, or everything He will be, is locked in the Word of God and is meant to be revealed to you and I as we hunger and thirst for His righteousness, as we read the Word of God, not to find something to add to our lives, to be a good boy or a good girl, but to reveal His goodness of who He is to you and I. The revelation of Jesus Christ, not a knowledge. Not something that I can, oh, maybe I can add this to my life. No, I want a revelation of who He is in all His kindness, in all His goodness, in all His faithfulness, in all who He is. I want that revealed to me. I want that to be part of me. That's what God wants to reveal to His people in this day, in this age. the time of looking for something of an old covenant. It's check, I don't do that anymore. Check mark, I don't do this anymore. Check, I don't do this anymore. That'll never work. It'll just lead to deception. It'll lead you to giving up or becoming a failure, becoming discouraged. But you cannot do it in the letter of the law, trying to find something to add to your life to make yourself better. No, it's a revelation of his love and his goodness that becomes a part of you if you just look for it. It's what you're looking for that'll determine what the impact on your life will be. If you're looking for something just to add to try to make your flesh line up, good luck. If you get there, tell me about it. But you won't. But when you have something that's revealed to your spirit, man, about who he is, his kindness, the God from the beginning, when he starts showing you who he is, man, then it becomes something that's part of you. And you know what you do? You thank him. You say, Lord, I want more of that. Show me more of who you are. Show me, Lord, of your goodness. Show me of your goodness. What did Moses say? He says he had experienced all of God's power, the Red Sea, all the miracles. And what did he end up saying to God? He said, show me your glory. And as he was put in the cleft of the rock and he only could see the backside of God, then God started talking about who he is, kindness. Kindness to a thousand generations to those that love him. Started talking about who he really is. See, God's part of the Red Sea, he can do that. But that's not the heart of God. That's an indication of his heart. But his heart of kindness and love and purity and goodness and strength and his ability in your life and those things he changes, it comes right into your spirit, man. It becomes revelation, amen and amen. Does that make any sense? Amen. You examine the scriptures. Why the struggle with the beginning? What was a mystery, right? Jesus came. He was going to implement the new covenant. The Jews were looking for them. What were the Jews looking for? Hey, get rid of Roman Empire. Establish the Israeli Empire again, amen. It said that King David was going to rise again. It said the son of David would always have a king on his throne. Let's see David. He's going to arrive in power and kick some Roman booty, right? But he came to reveal a mystery that was there from the beginning. From the beginning. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. That is the mystery. We're talking, what's the mystery? Which has been hidden from past ages and in generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Is any saints here? Okay. You may not feel like a saint, but you're a saint. You either are or you ain't. Is or you is not, right? I'm seriously, if you're born again, blood washed, his Holy Spirit lives in you, you're a saint. But you might be saying, yeah, but Pastor Chad, you don't know how I acted today. Okay. Let me tell you a secret that has nothing to do with whether you're a saint or not. Nothing. If it does, then we need to go back to the old law. Then we need to go back and say, okay, what do I need to do to be a saint? There's nothing there in the old covenant, in the letter of the law. It just brings condemnation, Paul said. Even as a good friend said to me many years ago, I didn't believe him at the time. He says, on your worst day, Chad, he loves you deeply. I did not believe it. But guess what? I believe it now. I believe it now. I am a saint and deeply loved by God on my worst days and my worst failures. Why? Because I am justified freely by his grace. Amen. I'm born again by faith. His Holy Spirit lives in me by faith. I speak in tongues by faith. I walk in his miracles by faith. I'm praying for those things that are still a struggle in my life by faith. I'm still praying for those family members that need to come to him by faith. I am righteous 100% before God by faith. And I always have to say this, do I still have struggles? Yes. But you are a saint. So that means that his new covenant can be revealed to you to a greater degree than just, okay, I'm saved by grace. Now, there's many things he wants to show you, many things he wants to bless you with in your life. But now has been revealed to his saints, verse 27, to whom God will to make known what the wealth of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles is. The mystery that Christ, what is this mystery? The mystery that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Christ in you. What's the mystery that was hidden in the old covenant? Well, this is that mystery. Jesus died for the sins of the world. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. What was the mystery where Paul would say, and he had the audacity when you read in the scripture, he'd say, according to my gospel. My gospel. He had that revelation, for by grace are you saved. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The mystery is by faith given your life to Christ, believing that a man died, man who is God, on a tree 2,000 years ago, and he's still saving and setting people free. Believing that, having his Holy Spirit, means that the mystery of him living in me has now been revealed. Isn't that, that's awesome news. That is awesome news. That mystery has been revealed. I mean, that mystery was hidden, but it was there since the beginning of time. Amen. Let's read some more scriptures. Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. You got seven more minutes in you? Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord. Isn't that nice to be beloved by the Lord? Did you know you're his beloved? We have to remind one another. I am his beloved. He loves me. I am his child. Amen. I'm his child until I draw my last breath. I'm still his child. Or until he comes back again. I am his child. This is the scripture. This is the new covenant. This is the gospel of grace. It's the only thing that'll truly change a life. So when you are struggling, you can be confident that you are still his, that he has not turned his back against you like in the new covenant. No, he's drawn close to you because he what? He put all his wrath on Jesus Christ when he was hung on the cross for you and I. All the wrath against sin was hung on a cross so somehow I could go scot-free. That's too good to be true almost. But yet, nevertheless, it is true. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning. You hear that? From the beginning. Hear this scripture. Hear what Paul is saying here. Because God has chosen you from the beginning. We're talking about the beginning. The beginning was not when Jesus came into the earth. It was part of it. No, he knew you and I from the beginning. Before I was ever born, he knew you and I. What is it? God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Holy Spirit and faith in the truth. You know, there's three things of sanctification set apart that I believe. Sanctification at being born again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, you have been sanctified. And then you read about these Corinthians, you're like, Paul, you sure you're talking about these people? You sure you're talking about the Corinthians? In those first couple of verses of 1 Corinthians, you're saying they have been sanctified? Because they don't act like it. So you have a sanctification of being born again, and then there's that sanctification of the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Right? Has anybody changed over a few years' time? Anybody here? Amen. That's a sanctification process. And then there's a third sanctification, Uncle Tommy, and that's when we get our new body. This body, this flesh is never going to want to behave. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. This flesh is crucified by the Spirit of God living in me, saying, you follow me, not what the flesh says. So I'm not waiting for the flesh to agree with God. It will never agree with God until I get my new body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a sanctification process, but the first thing is when I'm born again, I belong to him, and I have been sanctified. Hallelujah. That feels good when I don't feel sanctified. Amen. When the enemy tells you you're not sanctified, you know how you come against that and beat that? Say, no, the Word of God says I'm sanctified. It says the truth will set me free. Here's the truth. So, Satan, shut up and take a hike. I'm not going to believe your lies anymore. That's how you become set free in an area. You say, I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of being beaten up. And so you can go back to H-E double toothpicks where you came from, because I am not going to believe it anymore. Hallelujah. I have been sanctified, amen, by the blood of the Lamb. And when you know that, the sanctification process of growing in him is a peaceful one. Is there struggles? Yes. But you know that nobody can take you out of his hands. You belong to him. And the truth of the matter is, you belong to him from the beginning of time. Oh, that feels good. Amen. Verse 14, it was for this he called you through our, here's Paul, he's bragging, through our gospel, that you may obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me read this last thing about who you and I are. We wrap it up. It's Psalms 139, 13 through 18. I'm going to read this, Psalms 139, 13 through 18. This is talking to you and me. I don't care who your mama is. I don't care who your daddy is. Doesn't matter if you're, like I said, what your background is, if it's good or bad. Here's the truth. For you were created, for you created me, my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. That's you and I. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. You're his works. You're a wonderful work. Did you know that? You may be a piece of work, but you're a wonderful work. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows that very well. That was David, revelation. Do you know that very well? He says, and my soul knows that very well. Does your soul know that? That you're wonderfully, magnificently made. Wow. Let's continue, 15. It says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my formless substance. That's when you were a baby. Don't tell me that God doesn't love unborn babies. Amen. I always say this, though. He forgives, man. It doesn't matter your past, what you've done, abortion or been a part of an abortion. He forgives. And those babies are with him. They're with him because they're a living soul. Because if they weren't, then we wouldn't be reading this about how wonderfully we were in the womb. My frame, verse 15 again, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my formless substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not even one of them. That's for the beginning of time. Amen. How precious also are your thoughts for me, God. Here's the truth. How precious also are your thoughts for me and for you, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the sand. That's what he thinks about you, the thoughts he has towards you. When I awake, I am still with you. Amen. Can you stand up with me? Amen. So when was Jesus says, what have I been trying to say to you? What have I been trying to say to you from the beginning? No, it wasn't when Jesus gave or when Jesus was given birth to, by Mary. No, he'd been saying that since the beginning of time, since the Word of God. He said, man, I've been there. I was thinking of you, knowing you even long before you were born. And people can say, yeah, but look at all the things I did before I got to this point are still all my struggles. Then you use all those truthful scriptures. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed all my transgressions from me. Amen. Amen. My past is my past. What did Paul say? Hey, he says, one thing I know, I forget what's behind me, and I push forward into the high calling and purpose of what God has for me. So all that stuff is in the background, amen? It's only the accuser of the brethren, Satan, who brings those things up. The truth is, God's great grace and mercy, those things have been pushed and washed out of the way. And he says, man, there's things that I have for you and things I want to reveal to you that I knew I was going to reveal to you thousands and thousands and thousands of years before you ever showed up. And with that gives me such great joy, peace, and confidence. And with that, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we exalt you, we thank you for your anointing in our lives. We thank you for blessing us, Father. We thank you for breaking off any spirit of condemnation that would try to come against people or that is there. We command that to go in Jesus' name. That spirit of condemnation cannot stick around. We command you to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for the spirit of truth and the spirit of love to set us free in who we are in you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.